Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
I almost said, and welcome to this quick shot of romance, which this is not a quick shot of romance.
It kind of is.
It's hump day of Valentine's Day week. Does anybody have any exciting plans?
Oh, my kids are going to be home forever in a day.
Yeah, your kids are never going back to school, at least not until like March 1st.
We're going to go watch Captain America tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Fun.
We do have tickets to see Justin Willman.
Oh, nice.
The fun. Magic is human for humans guy.
Yeah. Is it a whole family event or just you and Jeremy?
Yep. All of us.
Exciting times. Yes.
That sounds like
Friday
a lot
night
of fun.
Or Saturday.
Friday night.
Okay, so there's a chance you could make that because the snow is coming tonight.
Yeah, we'll be good.
Should be, yeah. Leah, what are your Valentine's Day plans?
Nothing, because Valentine's Day is stupid.
Valentine's Day is stupid. Okay,
you're celebrating a massacre, and it's a Hallmark holiday.
But you're celebrating your love.
I live with him. I celebrate my love every day.
Well, okay.
Nice save.
It has been, we're in the teens of years together, so yeah. I don't need to.
We're
going to
have sushi and build Legos because we're mature adults.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like an awesome night because honestly, there's so many like young, lovey, idiotic couples out at restaurants, which... Yeah. Good for you. I sound like a horrible person, but like I don't want to be out at a restaurant where there's a ton of people.
Well, welcome to our romance book podcast where Leah does not like romance.
She doesn't want to see anyone else's romance.
No romance for you.
I know. I sound terrible when I say it like that, but honestly, like
the romance police. Anyway, okay, well, let's get on with the episode, which does involve a romance. These people are in love. Some are a little more in love than others, is all I'm going to say.
A little bit. I think so.
I have thoughts. Anyway, so on this episode, we are reviewing Rival Hearts by Maggie Rawdon. This is book one in the Queen City Chaos series. Okay, there is a prequel before the chaos, and we will talk about that after we do... all the things we have to do. So who wants to tell us all the things?
I can.
Okay.
So the release date on this is February 29th, 2024. The tropes are sports romance, football, rivals to lovers, co-workers, close proximity, second chance, older brother's ex-best friend, pining hero. It is the Queen City Chaos series. It is a standalone. It's told in dual first person point of view, and the put-out percentage is 44%. Excuse me. There is an audiobook. It is by Amy Hall and Lance Greenfield. And it is available in Kindle Unlimited in audiobook for Audible for audiobook.
Okay. First, let's talk about the narrators. Not my favorite.
I do not really like Lance Greenfield. Like, there's something about his, like, he's very high-pitched, and I don't love...
The thing is if you think about it, Teddy Hamilton has a high-pitched voice for a dude.
He does, yeah.
It's not deep and grovelly. It's pretty medium. It's not super high. And I enjoy Teddy.
Teddy's more a tenor.
Yeah. Lance, I didn't like. And I really needed to be able to do this audiobook because of time and my eyes being tired and... trying to do other things while listening, and I ended up having to give up and eyeball read it.
Yeah.
But I like Amy Hall. Mm-hmm. So I really liked her, but I am just not a fan of his. And every time he came out, and so I am a little worried. My feelings towards our hero, Mr. Quentin, are slightly jaded because I don't like Lance Greenfield.
Yeah.
But I think that is a normal thing. Like,
he annoyed me.
We have always said a narrator can make or break a book for you. And like, honestly, like when I heard that little snippet, I was like, there's no way I could listen to that audiobook because I will dislike it a lot.
Like, Quentin just kept annoying me. And I'm worried that it's because I don't know that he was that annoying that I should feel ragey towards him when he's on the page.
Well, you sent the clip before I started the book, and I would say that voice does not match the character.
No, no, as I got.
Yeah, I agree.
Sue in the YouTube chat says, "Nah, I eyeball read it. He was a whiner."
That's the thing. Like, it was high pitched, but it was like this.
No, almost, she's saying that Quentin as a character was a little whiny.
As a character.
Oh, I mean, he was a little whiny. He was kind of a whiny baby, but he wasn't like annoyingly whiny.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get into that in a second.
I read it a long time ago.
We'll get into all that in a second. So let's first talk about the novella.
I did not read the novella.
I did not read the novella.
Oh my gosh, guys.
Did you read the novella?
I read this. Yes, I read this a long time.
I read the novella.
To quote Becky, I was doing the Lord's work.
Community service!
Just jumping into the book to see if I could do it. And I was not lost. I was completely content without the novella.
Yeah. Now, what it made me maybe believe more of his reasons for waiting 10 years and pining so hard? Maybe. Maybe, but the prequel was not in audio. And I really needed it to be in audio. Reading at night, my eyes are so tired. I just need the audio. So it wasn't an audio, so I wasn't doing it. Okay, well, tell us a little bit.
Yes, tell us about
you and Amanda. The prequel, was it worth the read?
I think it explains their dynamic better than reading this book alone would.
Yeah, I think so too. And it gives you a better understanding of why Quentin is the way he is. And it also gives you a deeper understanding of Madison's family dynamic, which I think is important for this. And then, but I mean, I don't think you had to read it, but I mean, like I said, I read this a long time ago. So it was like, I think it says it in the blurb, like if on the blurb, like for Amazon, it suggests reading it first. So I did.
Yeah. So. Well, it suggests, but I'm a rule breaker. Screw it. I'm not following. You can't make me do anything.
Honestly, I was just more curious. I was curious to see how much of like, because you know how sometimes when they say they're standalones, but they're not actually standalones. And like, you can oftentimes jump into a book. And like, if you don't read that prequel novella, like you're completely lost. So I was like, I'm curious to know like how good this book stands on its own if you just came across it randomly.
So I will say that part of me, and this is not on Maggie Rodden, this is on authors that do this. This book was a chunky little beast all on its own.
I mean, it's just over 300 pages, right?
Yeah.
That was like 330.
Here, let me look it up.
Make it up, little.
But then you add 174 page.
It was 308.
So it's 308. Yeah. The novella is 174 pages.
It's 114.
It was 174. But that makes that
it was
book.
Just on the page, but.
That makes
so
a
you're
book
around
over
400.
400 yeah, pages. 20. I don't know. I just don't need a 400 page book.
Not for this.
Well, if you
couple,
can't.
No.
But that's one thing that we are constantly talking about. If you cannot give us a good complete story in under like 300 pages, what are you doing?
There are stories that need more pages. Like Amanda reads a ton of romantasy and fantasy with the world building and even like the vampires. And I think that 400s would have been fine for that Zoe Draven book because I think we would have gotten more insight and world building and
but
not
that
have
in
been
itself
freaking
is a
out
different...
how time worked.
But that's a
Jenny.
Different entity. Like, there's a whole other, like a world building, like, aspect to it. Like, you do need time and space in the book to do that. Like, but this one's a contemporary book where it's present time. Like, there's no world building needed aside from, like, the environment that they're in.
Yeah. So was this everyone's first Maggie Rodden I know Amanda has read her previous, but this was not your first book when you did read it.
No, I read her Phantom series first.
Okay.
This was my first one.
This is my first. And I will say, I did like her writing style. It reads fast.
Yeah, it's snappy.
The pacing moves from one dilemma to another. The banter was very good, I thought.
Yeah.
My gripes come down to, like, my first gripe is rivals to lovers with instant connection. Like, it felt instantaneous that they go from
Michael
hating everybody to hating each other to being in love. And it just felt like a flip of the switch. Thank you, Michael, for your dramatic reenactment.
He didn't know I was in the basement.
Well, I think the prequel helps with that, which I get, you know, what you're saying, like, of it being a standalone. So, you know, on its own, I can see that. But if you've read the prequel and you have, like, more of their history, it's not quite that instant connection.
But I wouldn't even call this an instant connection because it's a second chance. Like, and we clearly, like, see that he's pining.
But it's that instant switch. Like, they hate she hates him.
She doesn't.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, in the prequel, she doesn't hate him. Like, the rivalry part is the family dynamic.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with her. And then she's pissed at him because she doesn't know what happened 10 years ago.
And that's the thing. Like, I didn't feel like that hate to lovers type of thing. Like, I felt it was more like she is hurt. Like, she has channeled that hurt into, like, anger. And so that's where, like, yes, you can say hate, but really there's no hate there. There's just a lot of pain.
Yeah.
It might be because of the way the audio, like,
it could be
the way, like, it told the story for you that you didn't connect with any of that.
Well, and Madison came off a little bit as a pick me, spoiled rich girl, a princess. And I think that is some of that family dynamic that she has where everyone's protecting her. Everyone's overseeing her. And she just kind of molds into whatever the family thinks she needs to be instead of breaking out on her own. And, you know, like, every time she talked, it felt like family expectations constantly. But she leaned into them. I wanted this book, because when you look at that cover, I was prepared for messy, angst, you know, roughed up, dirty hair, you know, some real intense emotions and feelings. And I got kind of let down a little bit. Like, Quentin is totally a golden retriever.
Yeah, he is.
And so I don't think that he vibes with that cover at all. Like, there was disconnect. I think the cover's gorgeous. Do not get me wrong. I think the cover's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But for his character, I didn't feel like, because that guy
is...
He's
a little too marshmallowy.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like it's going to be a little darker of a book. And I had that same feeling when I read it. But then in the same breath, because I read her other series first, so I kind of knew how she was, like, writing her heroes. But then she also did that. She also did, like, a darker book, like, and I don't know if she was writing them at the same time and maybe kind of, like, in that headspace.
Maybe.
Because I'm not sure how that went, like, timeline wise, but.
This is one, like, she has that Pick Six book with the illustrated cover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the man cover is way better on that one. And that's my favorite book, but we didn't do that because there was no audio.
I'm just saying, though, I think that illustrated cover would fit better to this book.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, especially with a series being called Queen City Chaos, like.
Yeah, but it's the football team. Like, the chaos is the football team.
Yeah, but I didn't know that going in.
Well, this is true.
The series name, and I'm like, where's the chaos? Like,
it's on the field.
They're on the field.
Sorry.
I get that, though. Like if you don't know what it is going in, you definitely have a different, like, vibe looking at it. Yeah.
And just Madison came off, like I said, she just came off a little bit of a pick me, a little bit spoiled princess. I just wanted.
Is this a spinoff? Like,
yeah,
all of her brother, all of her worlds kind of connect. So, I her brother Easton, his book is in the college series, which I didn't read, and then her brother Tobias is the last book in the Phantom. That's also it's called Wild Card. That's a really good book. Like Pick Six and Wild Card, and then Pick Six is Xavier, like his other friend. That was
my question. Because like, do we see her before this?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not a standalone.
It really isn't. If we need to be able to connect to a character by reading other books that they might appear in, and you aren't going to do it solely in one book, then you can't call these standalones.
She's not in Xavier's book at all. She's only in Tobias's to kind of help him out of his situation because he has a sex tape situation going on. So she's not in that book a lot. So you don't get a ton of like character dynamic with her. So like, it's not like you have to read that to know who she is, but I think it's important to read the prequel to know who she is.
Yeah. I think you need the prequel.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem without reading the prequel, though, is the fact that, like, they talk around, like, the family dynamic. Like, you know her dad is, like, a shitty person, like, with the way that they talk about him. But, like, there's not a lot of conversation about the mom and, like, how she, like, supposedly nurtured these relationships, but she doesn't at the same time. And so it's, like, I think if we had a different interaction, like, with the mom, not the dad at all, because he was a piece of shit. Like, if we had different interactions with the mom throughout the book, I think that it would have created a different vision of her than what we got.
Probably.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I don't either, but you don't get the mom too much in anything else.
But I feel like since she's the only girl, like, and she's the she's not the baby, but she's like the youngest, like, I mean, she's the only girl. And so I feel like there should have been more like girl dynamic, like with a mom relationship. I mean, maybe that's just me.
No. So Rival Heart starts 10 years after the prequel. So they've been on the outs for 10 years and this is their second chance. And I know that Leah, as soon as I read this line, I knew that Leah's heart was going to explode in swoon and love.
I did not explode
but
in swoon,
I call
but I appreciated
bullshit.
The choice.
Bullshit.
Okay. So here's the thing, though.
So
this
wait,
is
first,
why
this
I don't
is what we're talking
bullshit.
About. Second chance. He is celibate for 10 freaking years. I mean, dude either goes through a lot of lotion.
Well, he keeps a tally.
He does. Well, no, he keeps a yearly tally of the celibacy years. But here's the thing. How many books have we read where the heroine is a pining idiot who is celibate for years and the
And I
hero,
still think it's like, stupid.
I'm not saying it's not stupid, but it is stupid. It does happen. But it's frustrating for me every single time we get a second chance for like they break up. He is out being a horn dog of all like epic proportions, and she is a pining idiot who like no man could ever like live up to her. Like, thank you for making it the other way. Not that she was a giant.
All I'm saying is if I went to Quentin's house, I would not be using his towels or sleeping on his sheets because the amount of wet dreams and masturbation dude had to do.
That's the thing. Like, he doesn't. He's not like a likable guy. Like, he's.
No.
He's kind of a
he's still a football star. He's still
matter.
And like the fact that his Instagram was so wholesome. And again, can we talk about
Stacey,
how this cover does not match?
Stacey makes a comment in the YouTube chat. She said it worked for her, but we also saw in the prequel how he considered himself a serial monogamist and pretended to sleep around. So had we read the prequel, you might not have been this important.
Okay, well, and
it.
Jenny, who connection and communication and everything is really important. Did you believe the 10 years? Or did you go, really, 10 years?
Okay, again, it was fine for me because the prequel, like, showed the whole interaction with her dad and him. So oh, it does. Already, yes. Yeah. Like you get like two chapters of that. So you already know what it's he gonna was be told a long time. Were, yeah. Like in the sacrifice he made and that like his thought process going into the next.
Okay. But years. If you hadn't read that, if we just told you this hero waited 10 no. years and he was a big professional football player, he waited 10 years for this girl. Would you have believed that?
No, like even like, so, up until that was like,
why can't the author the story, put I thought, the prequel?
Like, 10 yeah. seems like a long time.
But why can't we put, because she has the prequel in KU. Why could she not put the prequel in the front in the of Rival Heart's book?
Yeah.
I don't know, because she did that with Pick Six, but Pick Six is only available on her website. So I don't know if it was always in KU. Like, I don't know if this was like a
Pick Six maybe is she in wrote Kindle it Unlimited.
Before she released. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. Maybe if it yeah. always wasn't in KU, I don't know the time frame.
Yeah.
But
I'm just
she
saying
does it with Pick Six too.
It's in KU. Like, they're both in KU. Why not just add, create a box set and put that
or
prequel
make
in the
it
front?
Like,
oh,
book
yeah, that's
one,
a good idea.
And then this is book two or
well,
something.
Well, and she had, now I will say, she's very smart. In her foreword, and it opens to that page, you get the note about reading the prequel, yeah. and there is the smart link there for you to link and go grab it. But it takes you to Amazon, to the Kindle Unlimited book. So it's like, it's one more step. And if I'm reading directly on my Kindle, downloading another book on my Kindle isn't always seamless. But that's pure laziness on my yeah. part. And it has nothing to do with the actual story.
It was funny because I completely like forgot about the 10 years of celibacy. But when we were having that conversation the other day and you were saying something about why is it not the guy? And I was like, I know I've read one where it's the guy and it was this one.
It was this
because
one.
Seriously, why is it like, but the, my thing is like, there are guys who choose not to do that kind of thing. I mean, it may not be a lot of them, but whatever. But there's also girls who choose not to stay celibate. Like as Becky yeah. says, everybody has to have their hoe phase.
Everybody deserves a hoe phase.
But, like, I appreciate, I mean, I think 10 years was too long. I think maybe 5 years would have been, like, a good chunk. Because at that point, like, he is drafted. Like, he has been in, like, the league for a while. Because I think, and, like, when they broke up, he was, like, a senior in college.
All I'm
like
saying
that.
Is the first time they do it, it lasted way longer than realistically it should have. He must have been doing some prep before he got in there, is all I'm saying.
Jeremy says it's all about the respect for the person you love. Not going
to
out.
Jenny, how much did you just have to pay people? Jeremy to like?
I didn't have to pay him. Anything.
Jeremy made that decision all on his own.
He did.
I mean,
thank
you,
Jeremy.
I read another. That Devney Perry book comes to mind where he goes however many years without
7 years.
Sleeping with somebody.
But and dude is married to somebody else.
Yeah, and
so that does not make sense.
So that doesn't make sense. And I'm just gonna say, like, I read that a while ago, and I thought it was like a poor choice. But as I sit here and my days slip into each other, and it's like 2 years later before I know it, I'm like, oh, I guess that's how that happens.
I mean, that is fair.
Yeah,
and Stacey does make a comment that there are some athletes that abstain from sex during the season.
There is.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's just a personal preference. Like, yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
I will say, I feel
just bugs that me if book. One is a hoe and one is not.
Yeah,
I do want to be very clear,
especially if he's like he's the only one that she's been with.
Okay,
too.
Yeah, we're moving forward,
but no. She's not.
This book had, I think, really good character development.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like when this book started, who they were in the beginning to who they are in the end, it was very exceptionally well done. I thought it was a solid plot. The world makes sense. Like, you know, I thought the football was well done.
Yeah.
And I think that it needed the football with the way the story, like another sport, like, would not have worked the same.
And her pacing, like we've said, was really well done. Like, I didn't, there was not a moment in this book that I'm like, unless I was bored. Listening to the audiobook. And then I was like, I'm going to go find Lance Greenfield and stab him. Theoretically. Allegedly. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to say, keep Thank on you. Going there because you're fans from YouTube with your friends.
I do feel a little bit like, so Quentin is portrayed a little bit coming into the book as a failure. You know, that he hasn't done as well as his expected, and he just kind of is now stuck here in Cincinnati, and he only got there because his uncle, you know, is the new head coach, and I don't feel like that was fair to him.
No,
see, I didn't read it that way though. Even
oh, yeah. See, I think it's. I mean, that's the NFL, right?
Like,
what we see and what we hear and what's actually going on are three different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and where you are and your teammates like have a really big effect on how you play, especially at a quarterback position. So I felt like that was pretty on point for what was going on.
I thought it was very career-wise. I thought it was realistically portrayed as like, if you are that like standoffish, like with your team and with everybody else, you're going to get bumped around because you have to find that blend. What are you laughing
Jeremy at? In the YouTube chat says, Stacy, keep from distractions but also add to the rage.
Yeah, if he was a defensive player, that would work really well.
It really would. Or even like if he's like on the O-line.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do feel like this author, and I don't know, I know that she's a relatively new author. I think she's only got 10 or 12 books under her belt and has been publishing like since 2018, 19?
Something like that, yeah.
So she's relatively new. She did a lot, and this is more of an editor type problem. I feel like she was definitely telling us a lot instead of showing us through the actions of the story. There was a lot of overtelling, oversharing. I don't know that I need it. And that's part of the reason, like, I wasn't sad that I didn't read the prequel, because I was like, is she got to tell me everything?
Like, actually, I feel like the prequel was more showing.
Yeah, I would agree that the prequel was
So the prequel was a tighter story.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, then it makes me wonder, like, had she taken this down like 50 or so pages and not had a 300 page book but a 250 page book, if the story would have been even better? Because I really did enjoy the story, but like there was a lot to it that I'm like, do we need that?
It was just a lot of showing or telling us
other couples dynamics going on too. Like, I they get a book, like, I don't need it.
Yeah,
well, and she definitely was setting up her world.
Yeah,
right.
And to be honest, I took the prequel not so much setting up this couple, because we didn't really talk about it. We talked, Amanda said, you might want to read the prequel. And I said, whatever, you can't tell me what to do. I did wonder if the prequel was setting up the new dynamic of the team, because oftentimes we will get
not
that from an author, but this apparently was not
well,
that.
Well, especially too, because like the coach was new and like the QB was new. Yeah. So it's like there's...
Nope.
Yeah, this is the first mention of Queen City, I believe, from like even because I read the entire previous series, like which was the Seattle Phantom, like her brother plays for. Yeah. And there's no, I don't even think they mention Queen City. So this was like a complete
new. She just like pulled this team out of the hat.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, I got to put the sister and the other brother somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah, because the other brother's story, from what I understand, and I haven't read it, like Easton's story is all in college. Like his story is like
completely
college.
Yeah, because it's like something you, rival you, or.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that. I do think that with workplace proximity and this little bit of forbidden second chance, the sexual tension was incredibly well done between the two of them.
Well, other also because she was fake dating him, like another QB.
I just think there might have been some prematureness happening with that first encounter that we didn't get.
Yeah.
I feel like she does a really good job with like chemistry. Like that, the scene that I always talk about from Pick Six is like where, you know, they're on the dining room table of like her ex-husband's like dining room table, who is also his agent. Like, she does a really good job of, like...
I may have to
not eating dinner
scene.
I'm not eating dinner at her
house.
Yeah, you
can just, like, skip right to that scene. It's worth it.
Does he answer the phone? Like, do they call? Because that's always a fun, like, dynamic.
I feel like he shows up, like, not long after or something. But I would have to go back and look. But, yeah.
Just go find it.
I did love how Quentin was all in, and he refused to lose Madison again. Like,
yeah,
he had a goal in his head, and he was not going to let this chance go. Like, yeah, he knew it was all or nothing.
Well, and I did, like, appreciate he even made that. A comment, like, if because she had said something about, like, what if she was married? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, which that part was a little, and like, yeah, I like the boundary for me, I didn't enjoy that a lot. I mean, like, I knew, yeah, that she wasn't really with him, but he didn't. And so it kind of bothered me that he was just kind of like, I don't care if you're with somebody or you're married. So that part I did not like.
Yeah.
I just thought that, you know, for me, it shows that no matter what, he was determined. He, yeah, was in this. Now,
had, like, the pining was genuine.
The pining, yes, was genuine. It helped me. It made the 10 years slightly more palatable, but really it was not.
Too long. It's still too long.
10 years is still too long.
Like, seven, like, max.
Yeah, and the fact that she tells him, like, that she's not really with AJ before, I don't know if that happens, like, around 50%. Like, I'm glad it didn't drag out any further than that.
It was
that.
Before they had sex the first time.
Yeah. Yeah,
they kissed.
Well, like, right before.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yes, but it was still, like, before.
So I appreciated that, but yeah.
Yes.
Well, and Stacey brings up in the chat that he talked with Cooper and he said he would back off if she truly was in love with AJ. Yeah. So he did have a boundary. I just felt like, again, her character development, it worked.
Well, and he doesn't deviate. Like, he's all in from, like, start to finish. Like, he has a goal. Like, he is going to this place because of her. And, like, that is the, like, yes, his uncle said, like, he wanted him there, but if she hadn't been there, I don't think he would have cared, like, where he was at.
Yeah.
But the fact that she was there, yeah, like, made the decision for him to go there.
And like I said, I just wish a little bit that we hadn't had to have 7 years. Or 10 years.
Ten. Yeah.
10 years. Is there anything else in this book we would like to talk about before we move on to the next thing?
I have. Well, okay, what's the next thing?
Well, you know, the things. What were you going to say?
Oh, the only thing that I had an issue with is the fact there's, like, this whole, like, storyline with her dad. I felt let down with the way that it played out. Like, yes, there's, like, a throwaway thing in the epilogue about it, but it's, like, I wanted to see his, like, everything crumble around him.
Yeah.
I did.
If you'd, like, read the prequel, more you would have wanted it more.
Well,
yeah.
So I'm happy I didn't, because I was really mad that, like, they said they were going to do all these things, but then, like, we don't see them happen. And then in the epilogue, she's just like, he's suspended because, right, like, they all, like, came out with this stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But, like, I want to see his, like, reaction. Like, I want him to flip out on them.
Well, like, and if I, you had,
I needed more from that.
And I did read this epilogue. If I hadn't read that epilogue, I would have then said her dad was a plot hole.
Yeah.
And it really bugs me that she put that in the epilogue, because, yeah, again, you shouldn't have to read an epilogue to have all the threads in the story tied together. It should be,
yeah,
a bonus.
And that was, like, my one big thing. Like, the that storyline was such a big part of, like, their interaction, like, when the mom and the dad show up, and it just, but even the fact that, like, Easton is not the dad's kid, like, no, yeah, the mom's kid. Easton's not the mom's kid. Like, yes, like, I know he gets his own book, so there's probably stuff in there, but there was, like, nothing to it. It was just, like, a throwaway, like, item that we found out. Like, I just, there was a couple little things that I just needed more from.
I will say, I think we got more family than we did team. Yeah. And for a football romance, that bugged me a little bit. I would have rather seen more team dynamic than family dynamic, particularly because the series isn't named the Blank Family Series.
Right.
It's called, yeah, the Queen City Chaos. So we know it's supposed to be about the team.
I think part of that, though, is the fact that, like, the book is in the majority of, like, Madison. Like, Madison, like, carries most of the book. And so I think if she had made the decision, because, like, with Quentin, like, you see those interactions, like, he's at practice, he's out with Cooper, like, things like that. I think had it been a more even split between the two of them, we would have gotten more of that team dynamic.
And I think part of it you could have. Go ahead.
Oh, I think you could have like made that better by her working with the whole team, right? Like yeah. they put yeah. her on just him. Like
yeah.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be working for the whole team, like show her interacting with other players.
Well, yeah. And we didn't get that organization vibe. You know, a lot of times right. when we have like a PR person that's working for the team that's connecting to a player or a coach or something, we do get that behind the scenes front office organizational yeah. vibes. And I don't know that we necessarily got a ton of that here.
Yeah, and I would say that she, like I said, I haven't read her college series, and I think she does tend to focus like a little more on the characters. Like, I think she gets the football right, but you don't, it's not like a focused team dynamic, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then, but I don't know if she does it more in the second book of the series, because I didn't read it. And I know this is like a new series, and she's using like Madison as the tie-in, because Tobias is the last book in the Phantom. So right. I think that's like, you know, she's kind of wrapping up like each of the Westfields from her previous yeah. series. But yeah, I don't know if they get more team dynamic in book two. They might.
Yeah, it was just a little disappointing, because it's yeah. something we talk about in sports romance. The sport was fine, yeah. but if we miss that team dynamic, it sometimes feels a little disconnected from the sports romance.
But yeah, and there was some just not enough.
Yeah. I'm finding, though, that it seems in our hockey romances, the locker room dynamic, team dynamic is big. The team tends to travel in a pack, at least the authors that we are reading. The football books that we've read recently, there does not seem to be that locker room dynamic or the team traveling in a pack. They travel in pairs.
Yeah, which is kind of how they play football. So you're typically going to get your quarterback with the receivers or the running yeah. backs. You're going to have the linemen together. You're going to have the defensive players typically together. I think that kind of actually lends itself to probably how football players really are.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting, because it's something we though, like, criticize.
I think part of it is like with hockey, you have like 5 men on the ice. Like football, you have 11 men on the offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have 11 men on the defense, and then you have your special teams. So like the size of the team is so much greater in like the way in which they play. So it's like you, when you see like them out, like it's typically offense and offense people like hanging out.
Yeah. Well, and I think like football is a 28 man roster, and hockey is only a 22 or 23 man roster. Like their official, all the players that are on the team, not practice squad yeah. or anything like that. So, you know, it is a little larger grouping of people. But yeah, I just, you know, it's something we criticize that, oh, there's not enough team dynamic. We don't get those locker room moments. And I'm just finding in football, we just don't really see them at all in football.
An NFL yeah. roster has 53 players.
53. Okay.
So, I mean, that's a huge difference, because the NHL.
I had a problem that she does
is a
not
maximum
look.
Of 23.
See, I got one number right out of like six. So
one out of six ain't bad.
What were you going to say, Jenny?
I had a problem that she didn't look before she opens the door. Oh. Like multiple times. She is in a hotel room. She doesn't look through the people. She is at her brother's house, sister-in-law's house. She just opens the door. Like,
so that makes me wonder if Maggie Rodden lives in a small town.
Well,
I'm not sure.
So if you knock on, so we have multiple doors in the house, but we only use one. If you knock on my front door, I won't even answer the door. But if you knock on the side door, I mean, granted, it has a window, but even if the window is not open, I don't look. I just answer it.
I'll stare right at you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But it's, you have to knock on the correct door for me to open it.
Like, she's not even looking at you if you're on at the front door. You're just knocking for nothing.
The front door does not exist. Oh, yeah, Bonnie said she lives in a small town. She's looking to see, but she's still not opening the door. I mean, that is fair.
You guys. Okay. So anything else about Rival Hearts that we need to talk about before we do thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, she was staying in Cincinnati for the graders, and I don't think that's good enough.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, and no one likes Skyline chili. I'm sorry.
Right.
No one likes that. It's gross. It's chili on spaghetti with nutmeg. It's gross.
I mean, there are some people who like that.
And they're wrong.
I mean, it wouldn't exist still if people didn't like it.
I mean, it's not doing well.
No. So. Yeah, I was going to say the franchise is closing.
I'm just putting it out there.
But yeah, Grater's ice cream is not that great.
I don't think I've ever.
Okay, I didn't even know what you were talking about when you said that. I was like, what?
She's staying for Grater's.
I've heard of it, but I have never eaten it. No,
it's a hand dipped ice cream chain in Cincinnati. I think, are they into Columbus?
Yeah, they probably are. I mean, they're down in Kentucky. They're like in
I think they're in Pittsburgh somewhere.
But they're a Cincinnati based company. That's where they started. And see, it's funny because where I live, it's Dietz's, but north of us, it's Velvet is the brand.
Toffs
is over in Sandusky, and it's Pierre's over in Cuyahoga in Lake County up in Cleveland.
I know nothing of what you're talking about.
Small.
We like our ice cream in Ohio.
We have a Dairy Queen.
No.
No, that's ice milk.
We have like mom and pop ice cream shops.
We have the ice cream shack. Like, we have that. But this is like, that's all soft serve. This is like old fashioned, hand dipped, like hard ice cream.
We have Dairy Queen for that.
Yeah, I don't think
Your Dairy Queen serves hand dip?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It serves soft serve.
There is a place right on the main, like the Main Street Drag,
who makes her own.
Like, it is hand, like homemade, like hard, like scoopy stuff.
I'm sorry, Jeremy. Dietz's is by far the superior.
We're fighting about ice cream now.
Yeah.
But Jeremy even said, I'll fight y'all.
Yeah, I don't like Dairy Queen. I just think it's the only thing here.
Sometimes you're just hankering for a Blizzard, though, so you have to get one.
What's your Blizzard order? Do you get, like, the specials, or do you have, like,
I get a Snickers Blizzard.
But no, like, variation. You know what I'm obsessed with at Dairy Queen?
The ice cream
cupcakes. It's like a slice of their ice cream cake in a cup. So you get the fudgy brownie crumble, the layer of fudge, the vanilla, and the chocolate.
It's like an ice cream cake in single serve.
So it's a cupcake. It's an ice cream cupcake. It makes me very happy.
It's in a cup.
Yes. I mean, I do like their ice cream cakes. But
Bonnie says she's up in Canada and they only have Dairy Queen.
But their Dairy Queen is probably different than our Dairy Queen because it's Canadian Dairy Queen.
They're probably nicer than the people that work at my Dairy Queen.
This is also true.
I mean, they're probably getting paid more, so.
There's that. They probably get insurance. okay. Let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down before we tell them what other books they should read. Jenny, was this a thumbs up, thumbs down for you?
It was a thumbs up. I would read more of her.
Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
This is a thumbs up for me. Like I said, like I think this was like the third book of hers I read, and this is not even my favorite, and I still like it. So I like the way she writes. I like the way she writes football. So thumbs up.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
It is a thumbs up for me. I did enjoy her writing style. Like it's 300 pages, but it was a fairly quick read.
Yeah. So I'm going to say thumb sideways. I didn't dislike it.
But it was the audio that killed it.
It could have been the audio, but it also could have been, like, I didn't buy into the 10 years. So there were just little things. Pacing was fine. There were no giant plot holes. I liked her writing. I will absolutely read her again. Like, I downloaded the second book, and I purchased that Pick Six a while ago. Yeah. So I will absolutely read them. And read her again. This book, there just was a lot of, like, she annoyed me. The audio annoyed me. There was just a lot of that for me. So, Jenny, your spouse is being mean to me. I'm going to have to ask the moderators to block him. Oh, wait, is he a moderator? He might be a moderator.
I am, and I am here. So.
I'm Humble Pride BS is Finley in a nutshell. I have moderator
powers. I just don't know how to use them.
I mean, it's fine. Okay, so if people really liked this book or are looking for more books that either are Second Chance or Football, Pining Heroes, what books do you recommend? Does anybody have any? Because if not, you're welcome to steal any of mine.
I do. I do have some, but Leah can go first if she wants.
I actually, you have this, the new Ilsa Madden Mills on here, The Kiss Lottery, but yeah. I have Beauty and the Baller and Princess and the Player by Ilsa Madden Mills. I really enjoy both of those. Like in book one, he's no longer playing, but it's still, he's coaching. So it still has that aspect. And there's this kind of second chance because they had a one night stand and then they meet back up. But
the Ilsa Madden Mills that I read, was a football player in high school, but it was more about the second chance and a redemption arc, which I feel like Quentin had to have a little bit of a redemption arc.
She does write quite a bit of football because she has college football also. She typically gets the football correct, like when it shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do you have? Any others?
No, I do. Well, the Amy Award like the Cocky Kingsman series, like those are definitely fluffy, but they're fun football books to read.
What about you, Amanda? Do you have some books?
So I love Pick Six by Maggie Rodden. I think if you like this one and you want a little better dynamic, a little better book, I think Pick Six is a better book. That's also, it's kind of like a, it's almost like a second chance because they meet and then she ends up married to somebody else who ends up being his agent. And they kind of have like an antagonistic dynamic. She gets divorced. You know, he's always like, it's always been her for him kind of situation. So he's also pining in that one.
But he's I a also dirty think, hoe probably.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, just the dining room scene, it's worth it in that book alone. And then I think also The Third Baseman by Lulu Moore is another one. It's a second chance. Her dad gets involved in that one. That one's baseball. They also end up working together. So it's another close proximity. He's trying to get back in there. She's really mad at him for what happened when they were younger. And then the only other one I had was, I put Forget Me Not by Julie Soto on there just for the second chance. Yeah. Because they're working on that wedding together. And I think they've got a lot of stuff to work out. So.
Yeah. What do you have, Jenny? Any?
For second chance, like Pining Hero, We're Made of Moments by Molly Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That also has a prequel that adds to the story. And
yeah.
But you don't have to read
there's
it.
A baby. But it's helpful.
Yes,
it is. But that one, yes. You do not need to read it to get the full effect of the book.
This is true.
Some of us like to read the extras, okay?
Yeah. Right.
So
I like all the extra reread stuff. That.
If we go sports, second chances, I have The Mr. Broody by Piper Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Her Greatest Mistake by Hannah Cohen.
That's a very similar like situation as far as the like parent dynamics.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a good, that's a really good comp for that book. Yeah. Know the Score by Kylie Kent. It is a secret baby, but they're very much rivals. It's a little bonkers.
It's hockey, but there's not a lot of hockey.
No, there's mob shootings at a hockey game.
It's mafia with really, the side of hockey.
It's Kylie Kent, Jenny. Oh, okay. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Callum by Sawyer Bennett. It's hockey. Second chance. Sneak Attack by Stacey Lynn is football. And this, he returns to, or he is the hometown hero. It's a small town outside Nashville. He plays for the Nashville football team. She returns to the small town and she's the one. He's been pining for her, but she's the one that has to go through the redemption, which I really appreciate, because instead of confronting feelings and dealing with problems, she ran away. So now she's come back after the loss of her grandmother and she has to have some redemption. And then Made for Romeo by Natasha Madison. Again, yeah. He's pining for her. It's hockey. But yeah. So those were sports ones. I have others that other second chances, I think, that are as good as this is. Everyone I Kissed Since You Got Famous by Mae Marvel.
I was waiting for that one.
Mine for Winter by Carrie Elks. A Dish Best Served Hot by Natalie Kenya.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's you a want good the one. Angst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full that's Moon.
Messy and angsty.
It is. Yeah. Full Moon Over Freedom by Angelica M. Lopez. And then Love on the Byline by Zio Axelrod.
Isn't Angelina?
Angelina. Sorry. Hey, I was typing off memory, but I got Everyone I Kissed Since You Got Famous by Mae Marvel.
Mae Marvel and Carrie Elks all in one.
I know, right? But you guys, guess what? On Sunday.
Yeah.
On Sunday. Anyway. So that's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoy our deep dive into Rival Hearts. And our insta-love debates and all, you know, appreciate us. And that 10 years is too long. That should be a sticker, right? 10 years is too long.
Just like, I'll write it down. Poor Mike. Like, he disappears for 10 years. Becky's moved on.
Several times.
If he'll be presumed dead, I think right. It's 3 years, right? Like, if you hear nothing from someone, it's 3 years.
I don't know. I haven't looked up the numbers.
I watch a lot of Dateline.
I've never Googled that.
Oh. Okay. Well.
Have you?
No. That would be inappropriate.
I don't believe you.
I watch a lot of Dateline. I listen to a lot of true crime. It's a hobby. I don't hate on your hobby.
Yes, you do.
What is your hobby?
I have no idea, but you would if I had one.
Everyone's like, Dateline, sure. Yeah, really, I watch a lot of Dateline. It's a comfort watch for me. When I had COVID years ago, I put it on and I slept in and out on the couch. And then when I moved to the bedroom, I put it up on the bedroom TV and it kept me company while I was dying. It was great. Okay, we'll be back Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the YouTube for a special author interview. I'm so excited. Anyway, so make sure you tune in because I will be a fool. And if you can't catch it live, don't worry. It'll be in your podcast feed right after we're done. Next week, we are diving into Intercepted. Why is that word hard for me all of a sudden?
I don't know, but the first two were not even football words.
Right.
No. No. Intercepted. Playbook, book one by Alexa Martin. I love this book. I love Alexa Martin. She's actually a former WAG. Like, her husband played professional football. So it'll be an interesting insight. I'm excited to hear what you all think about it. So get ready for some more sports, romance, fun. Anyway, that's it for that. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. Like I said, we'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with special author interview you will not want to miss. And then until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.